Welcome to Close the Door and Come Here, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast with heavy leanings towards our two favorite characters, Jaime and Brienne.
There, there was a bear there, all black and brown and covered in hair.
Hi, I'm Clotho at Clotho Spindle on Twitter, and I'm joined with Kama.
Hi, I'm Kama, Kama's Place on Blue Sky Social.
Chicky.
Hey, I am Chicky, and I am Chicky on Blue Sky Social.
Devin.
Hey, this is Devin, GD Harpo on Twitter.
Guile.
This is Guile. I'm still on Twitter. I'm sorry. It's our podcast. I'm too old to do new things.
That Twitter even still exists. It's crazy, but
yeah, it is.
Thank you for doing it. And Lot.
Hi, I'm Lot, and I'm on Twitter, but I don't remember what it is. It's called something else now. just Lot for now. I'll find another place to land.
We're going to be discussing John's 11th chapter in A Storm of Swords, with all the usual trigger warnings for any discussions of violence and rape that might pop up. So we start with John. He's training with Satin, giving him tips in the training guard, and you know, suddenly everybody grows quiet, and Melisandre is standing behind him with half a dozen queen's men. You know, he thinks she's beautiful, but she's unsettling, with her red eyes, and you know, she tells him the king would like to speak to him atop the wall. You know, he asks, "Can I go change?" He's like, "Sure," and he changes and slings Longclaw across his back. She's waiting for him at the base of the wall, and they're, you know, going up in that, I guess, that elevator-like contraption, and he's, you know, he asks her, "Are you ever cold?" Because she's just wearing his dress, and she responds, the Lord's fire is within me, and he puts, you know, she puts her hand on his cheek, and so he can feel that she's really warm. You know, that creepy magic going on, and when they get to the top, they see Stannis sort of brooding over the field, you know, where he won his battle, and there's the forest beyond them, and he turns and he, you know, he's studying John, and John here kind of thinks about it. He's looking back at him and thinks when Donald Noy had once said to him about the Baratheon brothers, he said, "Robert was true steel, Stannis is pure iron. Black and hard and strong, but brittle the way iron gets. He'll break before he bends." It's just, you know, they're kind of sizing each other up right here. And Stannis asks John, you know, how much of the rumors about him are true. You know, he's like, "I've heard this about you, that about you." And John just kind of lays it all out, you know, tells him the truth behind Corrin, and that he'd asked him, you know, what he'd asked him to do, and all the events that took place afterwards. And then again, he mentions Ygritte, but he swears, like, you know, even all of that happening, he never turned his cloak.
It's so funny, as John is doing this, like, non-sales speech of himself, this is, like, the most Ned that he's ever sounded to me, I feel like. Like, this is just a very Ned Stark moment that John is having.
Yeah, which is, like, perfectly ties in, because that's, you know, it's like, he tells him, you know, Stannis is like, you know, "I know Janna Slint," because John's asking him, like, you know, why he believes him. He's like, "And I knew Ned Stark." And he's like, "You have his look." So I'm sure, like, for him, that must have been, like, startling to hear, like you were saying, like a Ned moment, right? Looking back at him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, like, we know that John kind of looks more like Ned. John and Arya look the most like Ned of all of the Stark kids.
Yeah. It sounds like it definitely helped. You know, didn't harm anything that he looked like him. And
look, and like Chicky said, also sound it more most like Ned, which right. is like Stannis is sussing him out because he's got this plan in his head, right? So he's trying to make some quick character judgments.
Yeah,
it's a great little scene, and right. and what is one of my favorite ships, actually.
Oh, gross.
No, they're wonderful together.
I think, like, I mean, they honestly, like, their back and forth is not bad. Like, they have some kind of, like, weird, not, like, that kind of chemistry, but chemistry in the sense that, like, I you know, I don't agree with everything Status does, but, like, I mean, I feel like there's, on both sides, there's an honesty there.
I think John really, and John takes the place of Davos in these chapters with Stannis, because, and that's why Stannis is, like, kind of cool with him, because he doesn't have Davos, and he, like, immediately susses John out as, like, a straight shooter.
That's a good point.
So I think, and, you know, he and Davos had that weird, you know, obviously have that, you know, maybe different chemistry and stuff, but, yeah, I mean, I think he just, he has, like, the voice of unreason, if you will, with Melisandre, and he's kind of looking for that other side that Davos used to provide.
Yeah, it's so weird that he's so into Melisandre. I mean, I guess she's doing these things and he can see them, but it's just weird with that, you know, how literal he is.
It is kind of a hard sell. Like, if you were to pick two characters that's, like, a character that Stannis would put trust in, like, she would be the last. Like, I would
think. But, I mean, like, he's the middle child, and no one ever cares about him, and then this, like, exotic, beautiful woman is like, you're gonna save the world, and does some magic tricks, and, like, okay. Like, I, you know, like, who is not gonna be like, Yes, I am secretly special. Yeah. Like, every single child's book is based on the idea that we're, like, secretly special, you know? Like, we all, that's, like, the ultimate fantasy. Like, oh, I'm secretly a wizard or a princess or, you know, like, you know, when reality, no, you're secretly, like, you know, a brittle dude.
He's everything he ever wanted.
Right. So, I mean, I don't really blame, you know, I don't really blame Stannis. And, you know, like, I don't,
right. Yeah. I'm making it too complicated, too, because it's not only the middle child syndrome thing going on, but also she looks the way she does.
Right, yeah.
The things she do, and that's, yeah, and he's,
well,
a dude.
She delivers. She does deliver, though. Like, yeah. She actually brings results.
Like, I think if she looked like, you know, say, like me, like a middle-aged woman, I mean, he'd be, whatever, go away. You know, he wouldn't give her any credence,
I mean,
but she's
hot. Can we just say what a fucking great fantasy novel that would be, though?
Yeah.
Like, what if I were in it?
Would be, like, I'd read it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It would be amazing.
Let's, I think we have a fan fiction request, Comma Splice in the role of the Red Priestess.
Or just, you know, like, yeah, like, why does she have to be hot? Like, I sort of feel like it's almost a mistake that she's hot. Because, like, what does that give to the story that she's hot?
Well, think about all those fun romance novels.
I guess he has sex with her to make Shadow Baby. So I guess that.
Well, I mean, think about all those fun romance novels that are coming out these days with, like, women who are not typical romance novel looks, right? The body positive kinds of characters. There you go. Someone who's a woman of a certain age. That's our title.
Yeah. We can write this now. Yes. A woman of a certain age.
Like, I don't know. This is going to be quibbly, but the fact that, like, she's apparently, you know, has gone to these lengths, ultimately, if we believe where the show is going to go, that she's, like, in disguise, basically. Right. The fact that he describes the way she smells is like blood and smoke. I'm like, would a hot woman really just choose that as a scent? Like, I think like, coming from like a warm environment, place, there would have been perfumes and oils and shit. Very quibbly, self-admittedly.
So he informs John that he knows about the Dragonglass dagger and you know, and John says, you know, he basically knows there's more to that. And, like, John says that Cotter Pike, Sir Dennis Malister, and, you know, because he kind of see which way the wind's blowing, and Othel Yarwick are no fools and good men. And, you know, one of them will do. And Stannis responds that Mormont was too trusting. He's not forgotten that John brought in the magic horn and captured Mance Rayder's wife and son. John corrects him here, you know, he's just so, like, not going to let anything go. He's like, no, you know, Dala died. Val is her sister. She happened to be there. The wildlings were fleeing the battle already. There wasn't much to capture. You know, there's not much going on there. No, it just happened and fell into my hands. And
Okay. I got to say, Guile is right. This does sound like Davos. Like, when you're listing out how John is, like, saying, no, I didn't do any of the things you're giving me credit for. That does sound a lot like Davos. I get it now.
And I had the thought is,
is Stannis like, because I assume Stannis knows, like, with everything he's heard, that he knows what actually happened, like what John is telling him. It almost feels as if he's saying all these things to see what John's response is going to be. Is he gonna, I did this, I did that, or is like doing what John is doing? No, what actually happened is this, this, and this.
Probably.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, a little interrogation here to see what he says.
Yeah, and also, well, I was just going to say, also, Stannis mentions twice that he didn't care for Ned. I don't feel like the second time was necessary. You didn't like the guy.
Just say it once. You know, John is not Ned's kid, but, I mean, you don't need to say that twice.
Right.
Plus, like, who doesn't like Ned? Like, Jesus, Stannis. Like,
fucking calm down. Isn't it just, like jealousy?
Well, I mean, I think there were a whole bunch of people in King's Landing who didn't like Ned.
Well, they liked him. They just didn't, they didn't want him in power, but it's like, Ned's so not a fet. Like, Ned's a
Peter, Cersei, I mean, we could go on.
Wait a minute. Jaime is not a fan of Ned. We know
that. Jamie might be like the only person that has a legit gripe to like not like Ned as a person. But he does kind of like he really wants Ned to like him.
Yeah, there might be something to that. Yeah. He hates him because he doesn't like
him. That's it. I mean, that's the only reason Jamie doesn't like him, because Ned doesn't like him. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's crazy.
And yeah, Stannis is just jealous because Robert liked Ned better than him.
Everyone's jealous of Ned.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, gosh.
Well, doesn't John, like, say, like, there's a point where Stannis is yapping about this, and John thinks that he lost all sympathy he might have had for Stannis.
Right. I don't know. It is. Yeah, he does. He thinks that because he just lays it on to think about that. He's not happy with that. Oh, gosh. So, and this is a lengthy, you know, I'm kind of going over the highlights. They had a really lengthy conversation. And this is the point where John sort of makes his move to ask if Val can bring Mance his son, and, you know, so he could see him once before and as a kindness. And Stannis reminds him, you know, the other brothers of the Watch are insisting on Mance's death, and, you know, he's just like, why bother? Like, it's terrible, but, you know. And John, you know, said for his, you know, for the baby's mother, for Dala's sake, and Stannis wants to know, you know, they get into the topic of the wildlings, like, is there any honor in the wildlings? And John's like, they have their own sort of honor, is how he puts it, and, you know, same with Mance, and John tells Stannis, you know, he's kind of keeps underlining this, I'm a man in the Night's Watch, and like, do you get a sense that, like, I mean, because this next part is intense, like what he's offering, but it seems like John is already feeling what's possibly about to, you know, the things are about to happen in this, because he's like, you know, he really,
well, because Stannis keeps doing this weird thing where he keeps calling John Lord Snow, and John keeps having to go, I'm not a lord. Not a lord. So, like, I think he does have some inkling of where it might be going.
And he's,
well, and then, scared. Yeah, I mean, Stannis basically opens his mouth and says everything John secretly wants him to say, but, you know, can't really admit to himself. Like, you know, everything Stannis says, John's like, yes, 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 all of this, yeah,
And it's got to be kind of a freeing conversation compared to what he's been going with the others. But, and right here, like, you know, John, another kind of like Davos moment, John questions why it took Stannis so long to send help. And then Stannis does bring up Davos, and, you know, he's like, you know, he pointed out, like, that's to him that Stannis had been trying to win the throne to save the kingdom when he should have been trying to save the kingdom to win the throne. You know, he needs the North. You know, this is his, you know, he, you know, here we get, like, what this whole conversation has been about. He's explaining that he needs a loyal Lord of Winterfell. And, you know, he believes Jon's that man, and I'm going to name him Lord Snow. And, you know, we got to get this kind of internal, like, you know, these are things, you know, Jon questions, you know, okay, what about my vows? And Melisandre's like, you know, vows don't mean anything to the Lord of Light. And John's really thinking here about, like, he, you know, this sort of innocent child dreams about, oh, what if I inherit, you know, even if it was one of many children and a bastard at that, like, what if I ended up inheriting? And then he felt ashamed of it because, you know, that would mean everyone else dying, like what he suspects is happening. And, you know, he never wanted any of this. He didn't want any harm to come to his brothers and sisters. And this is like some, I don't know, it's wild. It's wild, like how, I don't know how someone could resist something like this. Just, it's a lot. It's just everything on a silver platter kind of thing. Like, and even
yeah, it's a real, like, out. It's like, it's a temptation of the Christ kind of moment, mm-hmm. since just the position that John holds in the story. This is like, yeah. you know, this is like the dangling yeah. everything in front of him moment.
Yeah, it's.
But I don't know if we have a question about this, but I mean, what if he did take it? I mean, do you feel like the North would rally around him? Because I feel like with Tywin dying, like, who in the North would be backing Roose Bolton against John?
Yeah, I think they'd be. I mean, like, they wouldn't want yeah. Sansa at this point anyhow.
No.
They think everyone else is dead. Here they've got a guy who looks like a Stark, who's from the North. I think, yeah, and their alternative is Roose and his psycho son. So, yeah, I think he would get. The idea of uniting with, like, the Wildlings and Stannis' fundamental misunderstanding yeah, like, of their hierarchy is, you know, not... It's going to be a success.
Like that's going to be a problem. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I think they would.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that, yes, John could have rallied the North. Yeah. I mean, although not if he were perceived to be usurping anyone, but he could probably get away with usurping Sansa, but, you know.
Yeah. That's where it would get sticky, really, is if,
yeah.
if there was somebody who saw opportunity to rally for Sansa. Right. That's where it would get, yeah.
But once the Manderleys get wind
she's married
of Bran
to
and
Lannister,
Frickin being alive.
She's suspected of having killed the king. You know, right. I could see, and she's a woman. I mean, so maybe, you know, and she's not there.
Yeah. And then once he's established, it would be almost impossible, I think, to remove him once he was established, you know. I mean, it doesn't sound like a horrible plan, and oh, the very last part of the plan is this, that he mentions that, you know, okay, this is kind of like, oh, well, I want, as long as they bend the knee, I'll work with the Wildlings, you know, I want their loyalty, they can settle in the gift and area and the North, and the Lord of Winterfell, you will marry Val, the Wildling princess, you know, it all fits together, and Jon's laughing at this, and Stannis isn't amused, he's kind of, you know, reminding him that this match would be part of the price you pay for Winterfell. And, you know, John asks for some time to consider, and Stannis tells him, I'm not patient. You know, you don't disclose this meeting. And when you return, like, he needs only to bend the knee, and then you'll rise, as he puts it, John Stark, Lord of Winterfell. That's where the chapter ends.
Can you imagine what a shit job it would be to be the Warden of the North with the Wildlings were in the gift? Like, just the constant bullshit from them. You put it, like, there's no salary. Like, no. Like, that would, I mean, beyond, like, vows or anything, I feel like John should just be like, no, there's no salary, nothing you can pay me that would be worth putting up with that constant bullshit for the rest of my freaking life.
I mean...
He'd be dealing with the Boltons, because it's not like Roose and Ramsay would, you know, step aside meekly. And the car starts.
The easy part. It's just like there's going to be Wildling bullshit for the next 50 years that he's going to be like a 7-year-old man being like, I've been dealing with you shits for 60 years.
I mean, that's any leadership position.
And I mean, ultimately, and I mean, what he might, I would think, like, a big selling point would be saving Winterfell, you know, like that, because what's going to happen to it otherwise, you know?
This even is one with of all those things bullshit. Where you have kids really quick and then abdicate. Your turn.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'd be like, oh, that's a later me problem. This is, I'm getting the hell out of this place. I'm going to go get my castle. Take my new hot wife. Might be a bit short.
Yeah, because at first I was wondering what, like, Stannis was talking about how pretty Val is, and then I was like, oh, I forgot. This is why. Because he's, like, trying to, he's, you know, suss out if he's, like,
interested in her. Like, if there, like, imagine like what it must take for Stannis to like have some like, oh, she's pretty. It's like, oh, that's just like it must like just burn him inside to like make small talk like that, you know? Like so awkward for him.
Matchmaker. Oh gosh. Yeah, it's just a man. I don't know how you turned down like all those things considered. I still don't know how you turned down something like that. It's just
honor. It's his honor. It's his character. Same old.
Well, you know. Yeah, I mean, is it just because like, because I don't think that John at this point is like Mr. Oh, we're fighting against the existential threat so much as he is like just. Tired. Like, I think he's just really tired.
Right.
Yeah, he is really tired. But I think you can't undersell the fact that John doesn't want to usurp any of his siblings, and he doesn't want to usurp Sansa either. I mean, yeah. he says this more than one time. Right. He's like, I'm not going to take it from any of them, you know. Also, they want him to freaking burn down or tear down the Weirwoods and completely get rid of the old gods, and that is also an issue for him. He's not about to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually he'll decide he's not about to do that.
Going against his father's gods to have his father's name. I think he thinks like that exact line or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, his father's gods. He does say that at one point.
Would he be usurping Sansa, though? Like, is that the way the chain of command goes?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it could get thorny, and like if this were like a legal case, it would be complicated because if you acknowledge Stannis as king, a king can make you legitimate. And if that's the case, then he outranks Sansa because he's a man and Sansa's, you know, so he would inherit first.
And he's older.
So
he would outrank Bran.
Is Stannis,
first of all, because I was wondering about
like,
Bran was around.
If Stannis is, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And also Bran and Rickon are
right,
alive.
Yeah, he doesn't know that either. Yeah, it's true.
But, I mean, we also strongly suspect that that Rob actually, you know, took away his bastardry as well?
Oh,
so
yes,
based on Rob's
we do
will,
suspect that,
also,
yes.
You know, he'd be the rightful heir per Rob then, too.
But, like, I think what's going to happen is, like, you know, okay, that demands that, like, because this could be, you could have Bolton, like, there's a lot of complicating factors here, right? Because Arya, remember, fake Arya. I mean, there's a whole mess of stuff going on.
Yeah, obviously he cares about Arya being ahead of him, too, but I'm going to say this. I think it would be different for Jon for Rob to legitimize him and for him to accept that as him taking the crown.
Oh, sure.
As opposed to Stannis taking it. I think those are two different things.
He's not, you know, this is a bargain being struck with Stannis. Like, Rob is just, you know, Rob is naming
I love how we're pretending that we're going to ever see Rob's will and we're going to see how Jon reacts to it. We never are.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I was like, did I miss something? I've been gone a while.
Really sad.
I don't remember any of this.
Never happened. You missed theories that we will never know if they're actually true or not. But we all think they're true.
Winds came out. Dream of Spring came out.
I mean, not that far gone.
Probably a fair chance that George R. R. Martin has actually forgot about Rob's will at this point.
Oh, God. Yeah, there is.
Oh, gosh. Do we have mail for this episode?
Yes, we do. Our first piece of mail. So, actually, from CardinalGirl75 on Discord. What does Stannis do if Sam reveals that Bran is alive? Mm. How does that change things for Jon?
Yeah, because Stannis is all about the order.
You mean, how does it change Jon?
Who inherits?
I think Stannis would consider that a non-issue because if he legitimizes Jon is now, you know, in the line of inheritance.
Oh, because he's older.
Yeah.
Unless there's some Westerosi rule about legitimized bastards, you know, still being behind. I don't know.
Oh, he would also probably discriminate because he's disabled. He would
die. And Bran is not there. Bran is missing. They don't know where Bran is.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
like
Stannis would
Sansa, know. Sansa, nobody knows where she is. Arya, no, you know, so they don't have.
Yeah, so
not like
even
they,
if you know they're alive, doesn't really matter much.
Yeah.
A Stark in the hand is worth, you know, mm-hmm. 2 in the morning.
2 to 4 in the bush. Okay.
This is getting really dirty.
Oh, our next piece of mail from Buck O'Hare on Discord. Which of John's adoptive dads after Ned deserves a Father's Day card? And he also asks, will John ever marry Val or claim Winterfell?
Oh, God. I think Lord Commander Mormont probably deserves
Gior.
My card.
Yeah. I'll, put my, Aemon? I'll put my...
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, he get a Grandfather's Day card.
Yeah, a Grandfather's Day.
I mean, what, you know, it's so funny because, like, if Rhaegar were alive, he would totally not get a Father's Day card from Jon. Like, no chance. You know he would have nothing. He wouldn't know a damn thing about him.
Yeah. No. Our last piece of mail from Sapphic on Gmail. Does any one of you ship Jon and Melisandre? Does George hint at it? I guess he probably does, but I don't feel like, but I don't really feel the chemistry between them, neither platonic nor romantic somehow. Mel and Davos have some platonic chemistry for sure, but with John, However, if any of you ships it, maybe you can convince me that they would make an interesting team or a couple.
I think Mel kind of freaks him out, frankly.
And then John is so, like, you know, there's still so much of Ygritte in John's chapters. Like, he's still really in love with her. So it's, I don't know. He's not over her yet.
I don't ship it, but there is a weird thing in dance going on that I hate. And I don't know why it's there.
Oh.
Because he's a dude and she looks the way she looks, but she's creepy. Yes. It's not complicated.
Yeah, and who knows? She's putting some kind of glamour on people, too. She can do all that.
Yeah, I definitely don't ship it, though. Like, she's too weird.
Oh, not at all. And that is all our mail.
Okay. Any final thoughts about the chapter?
Well, so we did a Sam chapter before this, and these are just two chapters where it's a lot of the John, woe is me. while reading, like, he was just so many thoughts of, oh, well, I'm a bastard. I've always wanted this. Oh, I'm a traitor. And it was people always say that about John. And these are just two chapters where it really stood out.
I honestly feel like he just needs to sleep. He just needs a good night's
nap. He needs a nap.
He needs a nap and a fire, a warm fire.
Some good food.
Yeah, and he'd be okay.
Also, a few more years. He's like a teenager, and this is how teenagers think.
And Ghost would be great.
Yeah, and Ghost.
That is sad. Yeah, they mentioned that. Well, you can reach us at closethedoorend@gmail.com, on Tumblr at closethedoorandcomehere@tumblr.com, submit questions to the chapter threads on the Jamie and Brienne subreddit, follow us on Twitter at DoorPodcast. Please like, review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, wherever you listen, and please support us on Patreon at closethedoor. Thank you, and I'm closing the door. Get out.